Well, there's a story of a stunt pilot who was selling rides in a single-engine airplane. And one day he got into an argument with a pastor who insisted on taking his wife at no extra charge. And not wanting to miss a chance to earn some extra cash, the pilot said, "You know what? I'll take you both up for one price if you promise not to utter a single sound the whole entire flight. If you make any noise whatsoever, the price is doubled." Well, the pastor agreed, and they climbed into the plane, and up they went, and the pilot began to put the plane through several stunts and maneuvers designed to make the bravest individual tremble. Well, the passengers didn't make a sound. Exhausted, the pilot finally landed, and the pastor began to climb out of the plane, and the pilot said, "You know, I made moves up there that even made me frightened. Yet you never said a word. You must have incredible self-control." Well, the pastor thanked the pilot and then said, "You know, I have to admit there was one time when I thought you almost had me." "When was that?" asked the pilot. The pastor replied, "When my wife fell out of the plane." You know, many of the problems we experience are caused by lack of self-control. And maybe we've asked ourselves questions like, why can't I lose weight? Why can't I get more projects accomplished? Why can't I break that bad habit? Why can't I get out of debt? And often the biggest problem why I can't is me. You may feel that your life is out of control, and maybe it is. You may feel overwhelmed by the situations and circumstances that you're experiencing, and that can be scary as well. Proverbs 25:8 says, "A person without self-control is like a house with its doors and windows knocked out." Self-control and self-discipline are key factors in having success in life. And without self-discipline, you're unlikely to achieve anything of lasting value. And a great illustration of self-control is an athlete who practices their sport and works their body into shape to be their very best. When I played football in high school, I was thin and I was fast. I don't know why there was a little chuckle there, but anyway, come August 1st, we would start what they called conditioning, and that was to get sure and to make sure that you were in shape for practices. And they really wanted you to be in shape ahead of time. And one particular summer, you know what, I just didn't do any cardio. I didn't run at all ahead of time. And so when conditioning started, I was gassed. I was huffing and puffing. I was out of breath. I felt like I was going to throw up. Then you have Olympians, right, on the other hand, who train every day for years for this chance to win a brief moment of glory. But the race that you and I run is far more important than any earthly athletic event. See, self-control is not optional for us. If we don't have self-control over the areas of our lives, then those areas in our life will eventually come back and hurt us. And there's no quick way or easy way to gain self-control. Like everything, it takes time to master, but it's vital to our life, especially as believers. William Barclay said this about self-control: "It's the great quality which comes to a man when Christ is in his heart. That quality which makes him able to live and to walk in the world and yet keep his garments unspotted from the world." Will you stand with me this morning out of respect of reading the Word of God? I want to read from 1 Corinthians verse 24 and 27. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Let's pray. Father, may you help us to live a life of self-control. May we walk with purpose in every step of our life. And God, may you help us to live for you, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, if we're to grow in self-control, then we need to know our purpose. Everyone's life is driven by something, whether it's guilt, worry, insecurity, anger, resentment, money, the list goes on and on. Instead of being driven by things that are harmful and destructive in our life, God wants us to be driven by His plan and His purpose for our life. When we understand our purpose, it begins to provide a clear direction for our life. It helps us to stay focused. It helps us to go in the right direction, allowing all the little things that distract us to begin to stay focused instead. When you live with purpose, you know what is important. You begin to make decisions in life that are filtered through what you value. And that's important, because the problem comes when we begin to value the wrong things. And so the question is, where do you get your values? Is it from the world or from God? Will you pick your values from either the culture or Christ? In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Don't love the world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world." You see, our culture, it really values three things. It values pleasure, possessions, and prestige. And when it comes to pleasure, you know, if you ask most people, what do you want out of life? Most would say, you know what, I want to be happy. I want to have fun. I want to feel good. We're in a pleasure-obsessed culture. And when it comes to possessions, we love to consume, don't we? Clothes, shoes, cars, homes, jewelry. Desire to have everything is really, really appealing. We collect and buy things that we really may not need, and we show them off to others. And a lot of times, we base our self-worth off of our net worth. And then when it comes to possessions, we love to consume, or, excuse me, and then there's prestige. There's power, position, popularity. Back in the 90s, Sprite had a commercial that said, "Image is everything," right? We're to be aware of our status. We want to look up to people, and we want them to look up to us. We want them to see us and know just how important and successful we are. But the problem is if we buy into the world's values, we're going to miss out what God has for us, because pleasure doesn't last. The things we enjoy right now today aren't going to be enjoyable tomorrow. Possessions we bought, they don't last either. The house we got, you know what happens? The kids destroy it. Right? I mean, how many walls have holes in it and marked up because kids have been slamming into it or threw something into it? And then there's prestige. That doesn't last either. How about all those popular kids in high school? What are they doing today? Who knows? We don't talk to them, right? So you can chase after the world, but you'll be left empty, and you'll continue to grasp at everything. Knowing your purpose and why you're here, it gives you the focus to say no to the things that will keep you from fulfilling your purpose. And we were created by God so that we can have a relationship with Him. When you understand that your purpose in life is to love God because He created you, to know Him and have a personal relationship with Him, then you can live with purpose. When you live a life knowing your purpose, It really reduces frustration. It makes your daily decisions a whole lot easier. It increases your motivation, and it gives you a reason to get up in the morning. It creates better concentration so you can avoid distractions. It helps you to live with eternity in mind so that you can do what you need to do, and you can filter everything else out so you can live a life that brings honor to God. See, a life without purpose is a life without self-control because there's nothing to anchor to. Secondly, a self-controlled life is lived with focused effort. Without discipline or giving a focused effort, we're going to go nowhere in life. In the movie Forrest Gump, one day Forrest just decides to get up and start running. And he ran. He ran for 3 years, 2 months, 14 days, and 16 hours for an estimated 15,248 miles, all because he just felt like running. No one in their right mind would just decide to get up in the morning and run a marathon. If you're going to run a marathon, you need training. You need to begin to focus on a goal and begin to prepare your body. And you create this focused effort to run a mile, a second mile, a third mile, 4 miles, 5 miles, and so on and so on. And eventually, you build up your endurance and strength that's required to run those 26 miles if you so ever choose to run a marathon. But once again, no one in their right mind decides to run a marathon. But what have you been focusing on? In Haggai 1:5, it says, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways." Give careful thought to your ways. God wants you to have a focused effort on some spiritual disciplines in our life to help us to develop the self-control we need. And as passionate followers of Christ, we all should be creating these habits in our life. And the first one's prayer. And we've made prayer out to be more intimidating than it is. Have you ever gone out to eat and someone said, "Who wants to pray over the food?" It's kind of like looking at deer in headlights. They just kind of freeze, right? And you're like, "Please don't call on me. I don't want to do it," right? Maybe you start looking down and whatnot to try to avoid it. But prayer isn't something we should be afraid of. Prayer is just simply having a conversation with God. And if you don't know where to start, just simply thank God for who he is and thank him for the blessings in your life. See, Jesus showed his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 9. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And when you look through the Bible, you see when people prayed, God answered. And he answered prayer in so many different ways by healing the sick, stopping it from raining for 3 years, bringing the dead back to life. When God answers prayer, he answers it to help us to be alert, to guard us from temptation, to release us from our fears and frustrations. When we talk to God, he begins to reveal to us the areas in our life that we need to let go of, and areas in our life that we need to give a little more focused effort to. And he shows us, you know what, this is what you're holding on to tightly. You need to let go. And he'll show us how to overcome obstacles that are in our way. Another habit we need to develop is reading the Bible. At summer camp this year, they asked me to be a part of a breakout session about creating the habit of reading the Bible. And they said, "We want you to speak for a good 45 minutes to the students." And I was like, they are going to be so tired and so bored. And so I thought, you know what, let's create a game for them. Let's make it fun. And so I created a game called Is It in the Bible? And I had them stand up after I read a phrase in the Bible, if they thought it was in the Bible to stand up, and if they thought it wasn't in the Bible to stay seated. And I would use different sayings, like we use cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. And then I chose some random other Bible verses that were obscure as well to see if they would know if it was in there, and then some that were popular as well. And at the end of that game, no one answered them all correctly. Kind of discouraging. But according to the Barna Group, nearly 90% of Americans, they own a Bible. And the average house has 4.4 Bibles in them. And so I wanted to know how many we had in our house, and so I started counting, and after 12, I quit looking. And so I'm like, you know what, I think our household is just raising that bar for you. But here's the reason why I keep bringing up reading the Bible and how important it is over and over again. Because Lifeway research found that approximately 32% of Protestant church attenders read their Bible daily. And 27% read it just a few times a week. But the article went on and said how research has shown that if you really want to see significant change in your life, then you need to read your Bible at least 4 times a week to allow God's Word to begin to do the work it needs to do in your life. And so reading the Bible is important because when I read the Bible, it begins to reveal God's character. In Exodus 34, it says, I am the Lord God. I am merciful and very patient with my people. I show great love and I can be trusted. I keep my promises to my people forever. When I read the Bible, I begin to learn who God is and what he's like. See, it shows me how I should live. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, everything in the scriptures is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and correcting them and showing them how to live. See, the Bible is full of practical wisdom for life. It instructs me how to have a successful marriage, how to be a parent, how to have a good work ethic, how I should care for my family, how I should manage my money, how I should forgive, how I am to love one another. See, how are we going to know what God wants from us, or what we should stop doing, or maybe what we should start doing, or how we should live for him if we're not reading the Bible? When you read the Bible, it explains to us how we should live a life that brings honor and glory to God. See, it also teaches me how to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Trusting God is a lifelong process. And you can read God's word, and you'll read story after story about how he is faithful over and over again, and how he will remain faithful to you as you place your trust in him. It'll show you how you can place your trust in God, and how God will continue to take care of you. See, another habit we should have is to be generous. If we're going to live a self-controlled life, we need to give a focused effort when it comes to our finances. We are to be generous in our giving, and when we do, it puts Jesus first in our finances. God wants us to be good stewards of our finances and resources. He wants us to be intentional and generous when we give. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. When we give to the Lord, When we give our tithes and offerings, we do so cheerfully and thankfully because we understand it's God who has given us the ability and the talents to earn that income. It's God who's blessed us with our job. It's God who generously provides for us all that we need. And the amazing thing is that when we're faithful in our giving and when we're generous in our giving, we open up our hands so that we can receive God's blessing. But we also have our hand open so that we can be a blessing to others as well, and they can receive it from us. You see, a self-controlled life learns to manage our emotions. For those of you that are Star Wars fans, you know the Jedi have a code. It says there is no emotion, there is peace. There is no ignorance, there is knowledge. There is no passion, there is serenity. There is no chaos, there is harmony. There is no death, there is the Force. And the Jedi Code is a set of guidelines emphasizing emotional control and understanding of the Force. Their code isn't about suppressing their emotions, but rather understanding their own temporary nature and not letting their emotions get the control of them. See, our emotions aren't bad. God created us with emotions, and when he created Adam, he created him to feel happiness, to have excitement. And when God looked at Adam with all those emotions, he said, "It is good. He is good." Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, "There is a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance." And it's amazing they made a movie out of just that last word there, you know, dance. Footloose. But I don't think this passage is talking about movies or watching a Hallmark movie with that makes you feel all those feels, right? But God created us with emotions. He wants us to experience happiness, to be excited, and to be passionate. And when a terrible event happens, or when a loved one passes away, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to grieve. God wants us, though, to be able to control our emotions rather than being controlled by our emotions. And it seems like we kind of put too much emphasis on our feelings. We think that everything has to feel good or there's something wrong. If you have teens, maybe you've heard them say, "I don't feel like doing that," right? Or, "I don't feel like going to school. I don't feel like getting out of bed." Or, "I feel like sleeping in till noon." We give our emotions and feelings way too much power and control over our lives. And God doesn't want your mood to be manipulated by how you're doing or be controlled by your emotions. He wants you to master your emotions. And when we make Jesus the master of our life, he will help us to put our faith in what he says. And when we put our faith in him and not our emotions and feelings, we begin to master them. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is?" See, the heart is the inner core of our being. It's our mind, our emotions, desires, it's our will. And while our heart is inherently deceitful and wicked, it can be purified, renewed, and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it allows us to begin to change how we feel. And so instead of allowing our emotions to get the better of us, we need to put our faith and trust in God. And number four, depend on Christ's power. We need to depend on Christ's power. Pringles potato chips, they have a slogan that says, "Once you pop, you can't stop." I love that slogan because it's like, okay, not that it's a challenge to try to stop, but it's a challenge to just eat the whole can in one setting, right? Let's see if that's true, right? And Pringles, they make it a challenge for you. Right? I mean, your fingers can reach, you know, the top layer pretty good. But then once those chips get out of the easy to reach, right? You got to begin to manipulate your hand and contort it to get those chips into the middle section of that can. And then once you get to the third level, right, you just kind of give up. I give up, at least. And I tilt that can up, and I just let the chip avalanche come, right? And it's just like, come on, man, let's go. And pretty soon, you find that you've eaten the whole can. At least that's with me. And it's the same way with Girl Scout cookies. Once that package opens up, they're not making it to the end of the day. They're gone. If saying no were that easy, the cookie, the chip, the ice cream companies would all be out of business, right? To say that I'm just going to stop is easier said than done. Yet through the New Testament, we are told that we should live with self-control. The idea that we need to control ourselves means that there's something within us that needs to be restrained. And God has given us the source of power for us to depend upon so that we can control it. Galatians 5:16 says, if you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. When you're led by the Holy Spirit, you begin to submit yourself to God and allow His power into your life rather than relying on your own strength. And when you read the Bible, when you pray and ask God to bring your thoughts, your desires, your actions in line with His will, you'll begin to allow the Holy Spirit's power in your life. He'll begin to strengthen you, and you'll begin to deny your selfish desires and live a life under His control, not yours. So instead of reacting and saying a sarcastic comment that's going to hurt someone, the Holy Spirit will remind you to speak words of life. Or instead of wasting your time scrolling and watching reels for hours, the Holy Spirit can help you to manage your time more wisely. See, the passage didn't say that you won't have selfish desires, but it said when you depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide you, you won't obey these selfish desires. Self-control isn't about bringing all my desires under my own control. It's all about bringing it under Christ's control by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how can we do this? Let's look at our growth work. Number one, journal. Keep track of how you respond to various experiences. Journaling will help you to increase your awareness, and you'll begin to learn and recognize where you begin to take control of your life instead of allowing God to be in control. Psalm 111, verse 2 says, how amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in Him should ponder them. Journaling can help you ponder both what needs work in your life and the good things God has done in your life. And so ask yourself, what caused me to act out that way? Write down how you feel, the emotions you had. Was it anger? Was it anxiety? What caused it? What were you thinking about? How did you respond? And then write down at least one small achievement that day where you actually demonstrate self-control. Seeing little achievements will show you that you're growing, that you're doing better each day. And then second, remember the cross. When temptation comes your way, when you begin to feel anxious, impatient, remember what Jesus did for you on the cross. He died, He shed His blood so that you could be forgiven of your sins and no longer be bound and mastered by them, but to live free and righteous lives. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then finally, ask the Holy Spirit for help. If we could do it on our own, we would. But we need more than just our strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit's help in our life. Matthew 16:41 says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body's weak. I shouldn't eat all those Girl Scout cookies, but those Samoas, right? The body is weak. And so we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Seek God's help through prayer. Ask Him to help to give you the strength to resist temptation, to make wise decisions. It takes self-control to live a godly life that brings Him honor. We can't do it on our own. It takes self-control to get along with others and make peace with them instead of constantly getting into conflict with them. It takes self-control to wait and be patient. It takes self-control to not automatically look out for your own self, but to look out for the needs of others. And the only way to do this is by asking the Holy Spirit to help you and getting under His control instead of relying on your own. Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray for each and every one of us. God, throughout New Testament, we're constantly reminded to live a life of self-control. And so, God, I pray, may You help us to relinquish our control and our strength and depend upon You and upon Your strength so that we can live a life that brings honor and glory to You. And so, God, I pray, may You help us to have conversations with You where we get alone and talk and You begin to share and reveal areas in our life that need some working on. God, may we read our Bibles and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to do that work that needs change in our life so that You can create us into the men and women of God You want us to be. And God, may we live generously for You, empowered by the Holy Spirit, trusting You and not ourselves. God, may we put our hope and confidence in You. I pray in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. This morning, if you find yourself away from God and you haven't committed your life to Christ, you haven't experienced that love that He has for you. You've been trying to do it on your own, but it's just not working. It's time that you give your life to Jesus. I want to offer you that opportunity this morning. And if you want to begin that relationship with God, will you pray with me this morning and just simply say, Jesus, I thank You for loving me. I thank You for dying for me. And God, I don't understand everything, but I do know I need You in my life. For what I've been doing just isn't working. And so I ask You, may You come into my life. May You forgive me of all my sin and make me a new person. Help me to live each day for You. And God, may I know You more. And God, may You help me to give You the control instead of me being in control. I pray this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed still, if you prayed that prayer and you're here today, Will you simply just quickly raise your hand so I can see, so I can just continue to pray with you this week? All right, thank you. Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit who guides us and leads us. And I ask, may you help us to be led by the Holy Spirit so that we won't follow our selfish desires. But more importantly, we will follow after you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're online and you prayed that prayer with me this morning, we have a gift that we have. We'd love to send it to you. If you can just email us or send us a message saying, hey, I prayed that prayer, we'd be glad to send it to you. It'll help you to understand who God is, the prayer that you prayed, and your next steps as well. Now, before you leave this morning, I want to pray a prayer blessing over you from Ephesians chapter 3. It says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us, accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. You're dismissed.